Good morning and welcome to Fluidra's 2019 full year results presentation. I am Luis Boada, Investor Relations, Corporate Communications, and Business Development Director at Fluidra. It is a pleasure to be presenting our results to you today. Today's presenters will be Mr. Eloy Planes, our Executive Chairman, Mr. Bruce Brooks, our CEO, and Mr. Xavier Tintoré, our CFO. You can follow this presentation in its original English version or in its entirety in Spanish. You can select your preferred option in the drop-down menu at the bottom right of your screen. In case you're interested in addressing questions to management, please feel free to do so through the Ask a Question tab on the bottom left of your screen. Today's presentation is accessible through our website, fluidra.com, and was also sent a few hours earlier to the CNMV. The replay of today's presentation will be made available on our website shortly after we finish. Let's start with the presentation by opening the floor to Mr. Eloy Planes.
Thank you, Luis. Good morning and welcome to our full year 2019 earnings presentation. This is the first full calendar year of the new Fluidra after the merger with Zodiac. As you know, 2019 has been a key year for us and probably the most critical for our 2022 strategic plan because it has been the year when both companies integrated. I'm very happy to inform you that the vast majority of the integration process is behind us, with a very successful execution and great achievement of cost synergies. Although the 2019 season started late, sales in the following quarters show a solid recovery. I'm pleased that we delivered guidance and that the full year figures show growth in all geographies. Even in an environment of adverse weather conditions, the sector's strong fundamentals were solid. Our sales grew almost 4%. This was best-in-class growth, even though it was a merger year for us. After closing 2019 and following the successful integration, we generally see a positive trend across all markets, which combined with our resumed customer focus, should lead us to better growth. Thanks to our team that has been working on achieving synergies for over a year, we have beaten this year's forecast. We achieved 29 million euros in cost synergies and also increased the total target to 40 million euros, as we communicated to you in October during our fourth Capital Markets Day in Barcelona. The profit and loss statements show growth on sales, margin improvement, as well as EBITDA leverage. We look at 2020 with optimism and foresee continued improvement in margins, not only from greater volumes, but also from cost synergies and reducing inefficiencies related to the merge. I would also like to highlight our excellent cash flow generation. Our net financial debt stood at 2.6x EBITDA, lower than the 2.8x limit set in our strategic plan. This allowed us to prepay 100 million euros of debt, as announced some weeks ago, and also reprice the interest rate on our term loan and revolving credit facility. Our outstanding cash generation also means we are now able to resume dividend distribution and M&A as part of our value-adding capital allocation priorities. M&A is a strategic lever that generates a lot of value. In that regard, we announced two weeks ago the acquisition of the Australian company Fabtronics, on which Bruce will provide more color in a few minutes. I know everyone is anxious about the coronavirus. We do not expect any real impact for our first quarter results with regards to it. This is a dynamic situation which we are monitoring closely. At this stage, we are not assuming any substantial impact from COVID-19 on our 2020 objectives. As I said, merger is behind us. We have had a good 2019, which has laid the foundation for an even better 2020. At this point, I give the floor to Bruce, Fluidra CEO, who along with our CFO, Xavier, will provide a deeper look at the 2019 earnings.
Gracias, Eloy. Tu inglés está muy bien. It is a pleasure to be here today to discuss our performance during this 12-month period of 2019. I'll start with comments on our overall performance and key developments, and then turn it over to Xavier, our CFO, to provide more details on the financial results. The numbers you see on slide five are the pro forma 2018 and 2019 figures for January through December for Fluidra and Zodiac combined. I remind you that the merger was officially completed on the 2nd of July, 2018. The strength of our global platform shines through as both Europe and North America continue to display strong growth momentum. We are pleased to present full-year results within guidance. For the year 2019, sales grew 3.9%, 3.7% if adjusted for currency and perimeter, to 1,367.6 million euros compared to 2018. This marks a strong close to 2019. This good sales progress is driven by top-line resilience and the emergence of revenue synergies. On a full-year basis, we grew our EBITDA 10.3% to 244 million euros, despite the negative leverage associated with the drop in volume during the first half of the year in North America. Merger-related inefficiencies and tariff headwinds. We overcame these challenges with cost synergies, our value improvement process, and lean margin expansion. We continue to invest prudently in OpEx while realizing synergies, allowing for margin read-through and still positioning us strongly for long-term sales growth. EBITDA and cash earnings per share grew 10.9% and 12.1% respectively. The results corroborate our improving return story, which I have mentioned in the past is a key part of our strategic plan. We've continued to focus on improving product quality, reducing product cost, capturing integration synergies, and new products to keep us on track with our longer-term goals. As for net working capital, we ended the period 14.4% lower from the same period last year at approximately 276 million euros, based on strong management of all line items and some one-time benefits. These full-year results reflect our excellent cash generation as net debt stands at 635 million euros, having decreased 13% from last year on a constant currency basis. Moving to page six, we have a quick overview of some key milestones for the year, as well as some recent positive developments. As previously mentioned by Eloy, the successful integration was a pivotal point for our company in our first full year. The vast majority of the integration is now behind us, and we face the future with a stronger platform that embraces the one Fluidra culture. An increase of the overall cost synergies target from 35 million to 40 million was a testament to the excellent integration process. During our fourth Capital Markets Day, we also introduced our targeted revenue synergies with an ambition of 59 million to be reached by 2022, 42 million net of dyssynergies. We're already executing on those in North America by launching a new commercial pool business primarily focused on the HMAC space. This unit leverages on our existing manufacturing footprint and internal know-how, as well as expanding the residential pool offering with the breadth of product of our leading global platform. Meanwhile, we are also executing revenue synergies in Europe and Southern Hemisphere by cross-selling products. For 2019, we experienced very positive growth synergies of 11.8 million euros, vastly driven by the quicker to implement initiatives of Europe and Southern Hemisphere. We also encountered 12.8 million euros of dyssynergies, mostly related to the remedy impact of Aqua products, as well as some minor customer attrition. The negative 1 million net impact is ahead of our plan as presented on our fourth Capital Markets Day. We're very well positioned to start having net revenue synergies by the end of 2020, providing further upside opportunity, or at least some hedge to our 2022 strategic plan. It is also worth highlighting how we've been able to run our supply chain, manufacturing operations, and bill of materials more efficiently through value initiatives and lean. We increased our target of 13 million to 16 million savings for this year, and importantly, increased the overall target from 25 million to 30 million by 2022. This disciplined process is a continuous effort that will deliver value beyond our 2022 strategic plan. If we move to this year's significant developments, we started the year with a 10 million euro agreement with BWT, which releases us from the Aquatron robot's minimum purchasing volume commitment for 2020 through 2022. The release from this volume commitment allows us to focus on the distribution of Zodiac cleaners that provide better margin. I remind you, we divested Aquatron to BWT as part of the regulatory approval process for the merger. This solution will be beneficial starting in 2020, as during 2019, the remedy implementation performed poorly, and as a consequence, we suffered revenue dyssynergies at our Aqua Products business. We also started the year with the successful completion of the debt repricing process that Javier will share in more detail shortly. This repricing, combined with 150 million euro repayment, will generate interest savings of more than 7 million euros a year. We have recently resumed our disciplined M&A activity with the acquisition of Fabtronics, an Australian company that will strengthen our R&D capabilities globally. The purchase price for 80% of Fabtronics shares was 15 million Australian dollars for an approximate 6 million EBITDA business, with additional earnouts staggered over the next three calendar years. Turning now to page 7, you see the sales evolution by geography. During this 12-month period, global sales grew 3.9% compared to the same period of 2018. All geographic areas had positive sales trends. We continued to accelerate growth on the back of more normal weather in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Europe grew 2.7% with a strong performance in France. Perimeter adjusted growth was 5.3%. The rest of Europe showed exemplary growth of close to 7%, driven by an outstanding performance in Eastern Europe. When adjusted for perimeter and currency, that growth clocked in at 7.3%. Altogether, approximately 49% of our sales came from the European area, highlighting our global diversification. North America continued to claw back against the slow start to the season. We experienced a 5.7% growth in the area, which was up 1% when adjusted for currency. This is best in class, bearing in mind the impact of the remedy dyssynergies at Aqua Products. Those negative impacts aside, we would have grown at mid-single-digit rates, in line with distribution, in a weather-impacted year. Growth was helped by strong sell-through in the channel in the back half of the year. I'm also pleased to report that we were able to catch up in terms of gas heaters backlog shipments and record a very positive performance in this product family. The North American standalone currency and perimeter adjusted growth in Q4 was an impressive 8.2%. This performance demonstrates the resiliency of our business and our belief in the continued strength of our market's fundamentals. The rest of the world grew 1%, or close to 2% when adjusted for currency. This was driven by good performance in Asia, which more than offset weaker performance in South Africa and merger-related challenges in Australia. As you may recall, we merged our Australian operations in August and operated during the remainder of the year with some IT integration issues that negatively impacted our business. Overall, we have seen continued strength in the vast majority of our geographies, enabling us to deliver a solid year in an integration and remedy-related environment. Next, on page 8, you'll see the evolution by business unit. Residential pool grew 3.7%, driven by gas heaters, above-ground pools, and pool covers. Adjusted for perimeter, the growth was an even more respectable 5.7%. Commercial accelerated its growth to 4.2%, confirming the positive trend we saw in the first 9 months of the year and setting us up well for 2020. The pool water treatment business continued to accelerate, delivering growth of 7%. Growth was broad-based, driven by chemicals and water care equipment. Pool and wellness fluid handling recorded a weaker evolution in Q4 with negative 1.6% growth year on year. So in summary, we're delighted with the integration process, feeling positive about our excellent cash generation and pleased with our overall results for this 12-month period of 2019. Our global footprint helped us to deliver positive growth even after a challenging Q1 for North America. Despite some merger-related teething issues and tariffs, we've laid a very strong foundation for further margin improvement via synergies, value initiatives, and operating leverage. With a full calendar year behind us, we're on track with the integration, well ahead on our synergy targets, and poised to continue to accelerate our results going forward. I want to thank our talented team of more than 5,300 employees for propelling the business forward during the always challenging first full year of a merger. With that, I'll turn it over to Xavier to explain the financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Bruce. Results on page 9 are pro forma for 2018 and 2019 in order to help you understand business evolution. Reported financials are different as the merger with Zodiac took place in July 2018, and they are included in the appendix of this presentation with a reconciliation between reported and pro forma. Also note that the P&Ls on this page exclude non-recurring expenses. In addition, the central column on this slide excludes the impact of IFRS 16 for comparability purposes. The column at the right of the slide includes the impact of this new accounting rule. Let's take now a look at the profit and loss account of the company. sales growth of 3.9%, that is 2.3% adjusted for currency and 3.7% adjusted for currency and perimeter. Gross margin for the year reaches 51.8%, 10 basis points higher than prior year, driven by price increases, positive impact of cost synergies, partially offset by U.S. tariff impact. For the full year, U.S. tariff represents approximately 40 basis points of cost. Margin for Q4 on a standalone basis is 100 basis points higher than Q4 of last year due to a more natural mix of products in the early buy campaign of this year and some U.S. tariff relief driven by an easier comparable as Q4 2018 already had some impact. Operating expenses of 469.9 million euros, with a growth of 1.9%, which reflect our investments in key commercial initiatives like the aftermarket growth in the U.S., the IoT product development, or the expansion of the commercial teams for revenue synergies, partially offset by cost synergies. Provision for bad debt is 4.1 million euros, with an increase over last year driven by the evolution in the rest of the world. EBITDA reaches 244.2 million euros, with an increase of 10.3% and a very similar number if we adjust for currency and perimeter. Margin reaches 17.9%, with an improvement of 110 basis points, driven by cost synergies achieved and increased volume. EBITDA increases by almost 11%. Below the EBITDA line, the increase in amortization is driven by the value of intangibles associated to the Zodiac merger. Net financial result is 50.5 million euros and includes approximately 5 million euros for the impact of the purchase of the remaining 21% shares of Aidegis, the group subsidiary specialized in the design and manufacturing of water treatment equipment, from the minority shareholders. Pro forma net income, adjusted for non-recurring expense, is 62.0 million euros, impacted by the increase in amortization and financial expense. As we have done since the Zodiac merger, we have included in the appendix the reported financial statements and its reconciliation to the adjusted pro forma statements. On page 16, you will see that integration-related non-recurring expense was 23.5 million euros, 1.5 million higher than what we guided for, but consistent with the overachievement of cost synergies. And the 14 million euros of losses from sales of subsidiaries, that includes, amongst others, the 10 million euro of BWT agreement that Bruce has mentioned earlier in this call. With most of the integration behind us, these lines that reconcile adjusted EBITDA to reported EBITDA will be significantly smaller in 2020. You should expect stock-based compensation for roughly 10 million euros and the final portion of integration-related expense for approximately 5 million euros. Page 10 shows the evolution of net working capital for the group. Net working capital reaches 276.3 million euros, or 20.2% of sales, a 14.4% improvement to prior year, where it represented 24.5% of sales. This year-end level is impacted by a few one-off adjustments that, when normalized, should bring the level to around 22%. These one-offs include, amongst others, payables for BWT and Aidegis deals that will be reversed in Q1 2020 as payments are executed. Nevertheless, this year-end result is ahead of our 2022 guidance and demonstrate the focus on net working capital management. Inventory and account receivable show a positive evolution, significantly below net sales growth for the year. Accounts payable also reflect an 8 million euro increase due to the implementation of the IFRIC 23 accounting rule. The following page shows the net financial debt evolution, as well as a free cash flow generation in the form of an EBITDA to cash or cash conversion ratio. A more traditional cash flow statement would be heavily impacted by non-recurring expense and pro forma adjustments and would not be indicative of the true business evolution. Cash conversion is close to 100%, up from last year's 73%, due to the positive evolution of net working capital that we have just explained. Net financial debt has reached 635 million euros, showing a decrease of 11.8%, that if we adjust for currency is an excellent 13%. Debt to EBITDA ratio has reached 2.6 times, deleveraging from last year's 3.3 times by 0.7. This positive evolution has allowed the company to repay 100 million euros of debt early 2020. It has also helped to reprice margin on our Term Loan B, reducing 75 basis points on the euro tranche, 25 basis points on the US dollar tranche, leaving the margin at 200 basis points over the reference. In addition, the revolving credit facility has also been repriced with a reduction of 50 basis points, bringing the margin down to 175 basis points. This transaction will be generating cash savings of more than 7 million euros in 2020. At these levels of leverage, and with most of the integration expense already behind us, we will start to allocate cash in a disciplined way into other value-accretive initiatives beyond deleveraging. With that, I will turn the call to our Executive Chairman, Eloy Planes, to close the quarterly call.
Thank you, Xavier. Gracias, Bruce. The 2019 results confirm our growth trajectory with a good recovery in North America. On a full-year basis, our main markets have performed well. Almost 4% sales growth, more than 10% EBITDA expansion, and more importantly, 0.7 net financial debt deleverage. From an integration point of view, 2019 has been a critical year for the merger, one that carried higher risks, and that is now behind us. Our well-implemented integration process has over-delivered on cost synergies. This excellent performance confirms we are in a good shape to achieve our total updated cost synergies target of 40 million euros. As we disclosed during our last Capital Market Day, it is important to point out that we will achieve almost 60 million euros in gross sales synergies by 2022. During this year, our focus will be on the business and on the execution of the strategic plan. Our markets and fundamentals remain strong. The company's EBITDA margin is in expansion mode, and the integration has been completed. At these levels of leverage, and with our accelerating cash generation, we will start to allocate capital in a disciplined manner to value-accretive initiatives. With that in mind, we would like to share our guidance for 2020. Sales between 1.435 billion and 1.465 billion euros, and EBITDA between 265 million and 285 million euros, with a strong cash generation. I'm speaking for all the team when I say we are optimistic about our future. It is our conviction that we are in excellent position to achieve our targets. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest. With that, I will turn the call back over to Luis to begin our Q&A session.
Many thanks, Eloy, Bruce, and Xavier for your presentation. We will now begin the Q&A session. Let me remind you that you can send questions through the Ask a Question tab on the bottom left of your screen. Our first question relates to pricing. You commented that positive pricing supported the gross margin. Could you please comment on whether you see an opportunity to continue moving pricing up and whether competitive dynamics limit this opportunity?
Okay. Thanks, Luis. I'll take that one. We're fortunate to participate in a market that really takes price every year. In North America, I'd say in low inflationary times, it tends to take 1 to 2. In higher inflationary times, it takes 2 to 3. I would say 18 and 19 were a bit more extraordinary years where we took north of 3%. Europe gets a little less, depending on the trends in the marketplace. But again, this is a market that takes price annually, and I would expect that to continue.
Next question. Given the recent refinancing and the implementation of IFRS 16, what financing costs should we expect in 2020?
Thank you, Luis. Given that this year's IFRS 16 financial results landing was at around 55 million euros, you have to deduct, as we have commented on the call, the impact of the Aegis deal, as well as the 7 million savings of the repricing, and that would give you a result of around, you know, 42, 43 million euros.
Next question is on coronavirus. Have you seen any disruption to your supply chain from the incidence of COVID-19 in China?
It's surprised it took this long to get to the coronavirus question. There's just a lot of speculation out there on the impact of coronavirus. Certainly more speculation than fact. China's a small pool market for us, represents less than 1,000, I mean, excuse me, less than 1% of our sales, and overall less than 10% of our sales come from Chinese finished goods. What we're seeing right now is that almost all manufacturers are now back into production and progressively ramping up. So they did not come on at full capacity, but they continue to ramp up, including our Dongshuan facility. The potential risk to our sales in the first quarter that we see is about 3 million. On the top line, so really not a significant impact to Q1. I think the question is also really, you know, what happens if this continues. We can see in our supply chain into about mid to late May right now at this point. So if it continues, there could be about another 7 million top line risk, or maybe 10 million. In total, which would represent less than 1% of our sales. I think, you know, I mean, the question, if this continues longer, it could have additional impacts onto the supply chain for sure. And at this point, we have really, we haven't seen any impact on demand, but that'll be the interesting question if it gets really into the season later in Q2.
Next question. Reported to adjusted EBITDA shows a difference of over 60 million euros. What shall we expect for 2020?
Yeah, we've commented this already on my part of the presentation. Basically, moving forward, as we are now, we have completed most of the integration, there's going to be a significant reduction in integration-related expenses, bringing that number down to something approximately of around 5 million. Then we should expect, as also I indicated, a stock-based compensation expense of around 10 million. And the run rate effect of synergies should also be reduced compared to 2019. So as said, all of this will obviously help our cash generation for 2020.
Next question, again on debt leverage. What is your net financial debt deleverage expected for 2020, excluding M&A?
Yeah. We're really no longer guiding on net financial debt anymore because we feel comfortable at the levels at which we are operating. And as we have said, we will start to allocate cash to other initiatives than really deleveraging. But you can clearly come up with an estimate of free cash flow generation with the information that we have provided, starting off the number that we have indicated for EBITDA. We will be investing, as we grow our sales, that level of around 22% of net working capital, normalized level that I mentioned, CapEx that ranges around 45 million-50 million, and that interest expense that I mentioned earlier on the Q&A session, considering the pricing, the repricing of debt, and the repayment of debt. And then with that, we have indicated at our Capital Market Day that we will resume dividends, and we will start bolt-on acquisitions with certain amounts devoted to those initiatives.
Next question is on Fabtronics. Is it part of your guidance? What was Fluidra's contribution to Fabtronics sales and EBITDA?
Fabtronics is included in our guidance. A little more than 85% of sales of Fabtronics are to Fluidra, so you shouldn't really expect any impact on our top line from this acquisition. Yearly EBITDA contribution is about 1%, and is really just beginning.
Next question. Can you update on your appetite and probability to execute M&A on the next 3 to 12 months for U.S. commercial segment?
I guess I haven't done a very good job keeping it a secret that we're interested in M&A in the commercial space in the U.S. We're really excited about our commercial initiative that we've launched in the fall, and I think the team has done a great job getting this started. We have a plan that does not depend on acquisition in any way, shape, or form, but no doubt my feeling is that we could accelerate our venture into commercial with an acquisition. Now, we're excited about the cash generation, where we are on the integration, and so clearly we've signaled that we're interested and have already demonstrated with Fabtronics that we're back in the M&A game. But I think it would be way premature to speculate on any individual opportunity in any of our markets.
Next question. Could you elaborate on the main drivers supporting the strong quarter year-on-year working capital to sales evolution? Is this driven by the exposure to the early buy season in the U.S. Do you believe the December 2019 working capital to sales ratio is a good year-end proxy for the future?
Yeah. Obviously, we have a seasonal business, and that seasonality get reflected in our evolution of net working capital. Now, I think that, as I have mentioned in the call, this year-end was impacted by some one-offs. And if we normalize, the normalized level should be around that 22%. That's ahead of our strat plan, 2022 target. But we believe that this 22% level is something that should be sustainable going forward as a year-end target.
Next question: what are the drivers for synergies delivered ahead of targets, and do you see further room to up your synergy target?
I assume you mean cost synergies, right? Okay, so from a cost synergies perspective, we were ahead on commercial cost synergies. You can think of that more of SG&A or OpEx, depending on how you like to label that, you know, duplication of employees or structures or things like that in countries as we merge. So we got off to a terrific start there, and we're able to maintain that lead. As far as operations, that's where we're really working through now. The team has actually done a great job in covering up the expected synergies from the divestiture of Aquatron. So in isolation, I'd say that they are already ahead, but that puts us on plan. We're comfortable with the performance and the guidance that we have given at this point, and we'll continue to work for more.
Next question: can you discuss further the other initiatives you would like to invest cash into now, and how much you intend to invest in growth projects?
Yeah, sure. As we disclosed at the fourth Capital Market Day that took place in, you know, in Barcelona in the fall, we already indicated that at the levels of leverage that the company was going to reach at year-end, we would start allocating capital not only to really delever, but we will be looking at bolt-on acquisitions, which should target a level of around, depending on the year, but around 20-25 million euros. And we would resume dividends with a target over the strategic plan period of between 30-50 million euros on dividends, as I said. Taking obviously on consideration that we will continue to delever the company towards those levels where we feel comfortable.
Next question: what type of impact are you expecting from tariffs in 2020? And can you remind us what you're doing to reserve the negative effects from this year?
As far as tariffs are concerned for 2020, I guess there's been good progress between China and the U.S., but we really haven't seen material change. In the fourth quarter, we saw a little bit of a benefit, and ultimately, the impact on tariffs for 2019 ended up being about 40 basis points instead of the 50 that we had originally adopted. Part of that is because of the good work that our supply chain team has been doing in continuing to work to find alternatives to China. We are continuing down that path, so the impact for 2020 will be significantly less than what we saw in 2019. And in addition to that, as I was mentioning earlier, this is a business that takes price, and the North American team took north of 3% price this year, in line really with the marketplace.
Next question. In terms of reporting from Q1 2020 onwards, are we going to have only reported P&L figures, i.e., no pro forma figures?
Yeah. Starting 2020, obviously, we will start to report reported figures, IFRS 16 adjusted only, since we now have a base of comparability. So that, plus the addition of, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that the integration is almost behind us, the level of adjustments between reported EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA will be very, very small, including just the stock-based compensation, and again, that 5 million euro integration-related non-recurring number that I have guided to a little bit earlier in the call.
Next question. There was a strong increase in the impact of operational leases on debt this quarter. Is the last reported figure a good proxy for 2020?
Yeah. The increase in the quarter is due to the fact that we have reached an agreement for a number of industrial facilities that we operate in Southern Europe that were about to expire in terms of the contracts, and we have managed to reach a positive agreement with the owners to extend the lease for an extra 10 years.
Next question is on EBITDA margin. It is to jump more in 2020 than in 2019, a year that reflected higher synergy savings. Why a higher margin expansion in 2020 than in 2019?
So we continue to execute on our strategic plan, 2022, which includes cost synergies, includes value initiatives, and in 2020, we would also benefit from a reduced impact of merger-related inefficiencies and tariffs from the U.S., as mentioned earlier by Bruce.
Could you give us more detail on the Factronics product range and synergies? What products and geographies are you targeting for acquisitions?
Okay. As far as Factronics is concerned, as we mentioned before, north of 85% of their sales go to Fluidra, basically for Australia at this point in time. They really have an expertise in electronics and PC boards. I mean, you can think about that more as interfaces. So we really like their R&D strength on interfaces. Think for pumps, think for things like saltwater chlorinators and lights. So certainly, it's an opportunity to leverage that R&D strength for us globally. As far as acquisitions, we've guided that we're back in the game. We've hinted at some areas that were attractive to us, like the commercial space. But what we're really looking for is value-creative opportunities. We like to look at opportunities that are less than seven times on a multiple, and so they could really pop up anywhere in the world, giving us a nice arbitrage and nice benefit for our investors.
Next question. Did you see any impact on demand from previous outbreaks like SARS?
Actually, I'm looking at the guys here. For both legacy business, we would say zero.
Next question. On the U.S. market, how do you compare in terms of pricing versus Hayward and Pentair? Have they increased prices as much as you did in Q4?
I'm going to answer that question over the course of 2 years as opposed to just Q4. I would say over the course, first of all, the pricing in the U.S., you tend to take pricing once a year, being a seasonal business. So you do that before the season. That usually takes place around Q4. And if I looked at the big three manufacturers over the course of 2 years, it would be in the same range. So some might have been a little up faster, a little lower the second round, or vice versa.
There's a follow-up question on reported versus adjusted EBITDA for 2020. Is it correct to assume around 15 to 20 million difference?
Yes, it is correct to assume the differences that you are mentioning between 15 and 20 million.
There are no further questions, so this marks the end of today's presentation. We thank our speakers and participants. As always, please feel free to reach out to our Investor Relations Department for further queries. Good morning.